Okay, thank you very much for invitation, of course, and also to the audience for constant attention to the speakers. The selection of first three papers was really very good. I hope I'll also add some interesting points to this collage of the papers. So I'll talk about, of course, I'm coming from Slovenia, a small country, and I'll talk about the agri-food industry competitiveness. I'll make a presentation of the competitiveness or factors that adds to the competitiveness of the agri-food sector in Slovenia. So I did a mix, or I pulled together the results of various research activities that we do on our at our department. So we think that we are well behind the EU accession. You all know that the EU accession was, of course, the big event on the economic system of agriculture and food processing industry. And we thought that we have enough maneuver now to prepare a balanced evaluation. We prepared kind of a hybrid model of analysis. The methodology is rather simple, so we bring together the results of various research activities, and we try to identify the key determinants of the food industry economic environment, which influence into the competitiveness or economic results of the food processing industry. We stated four questions. First of all is the question whether the food industry is facing a cost-price squeeze. You will see some results about this question. Then the second question is quite rhetoric. Who is skimming the cream in the food chain? In a second you will see which part of the food chain is basically skimming the cream. The third question is regarding the international trade. What are the trends in the international trade? And then the fourth relates to the budgetary supports. So whether the budgetary supports to the food processing sector stimulates the competitiveness. So how the budgetary support of the state influenced the results and the competitiveness of the agri-food sector in Slovenia. But first, let me skip through some economic performance data. So this will be kind of the initial part. Very basic economic indicators, so how food processing industry is put into the Slovenian economic system. Two basic indicators, so share in the GDP, gross domestic product, and share in the total employment. It's quite obvious that the sector is losing its importance in the last decade, as well as in terms of GDP, but also in terms of the employment share. So we can see that from about 2.5% in 2000 in GDP share and in the employment share, the sector fell almost into the range of 1.5%. So almost 1 percentage point drop in the both indicators. The second one is the industrial production volume. So how these two indicators performing in the last 7 years. So we have data for total processing industry, entire economic activity related to the processing, and then we have food processing and production of beverages. We can see different patterns. First of all, the processing industry in total was growing during the conjecture, so when the economic system was doing well. We can see considerable growth in the industrial activity, but then, of course, the recession caused Slovenian processing industry to shrink quite considerably, but now we can see slight improvements in the years, let's say, after the big recession happened. But food industry has different patterns, so we cannot observe this typical conjuncture recession pattern. So food industry was slowly dropping in terms of economic importance, but less, let's say, typical than in the other processing industry. So we can see again the shrinking of the total industrial output. Efficiency. The important point or interesting point is that the food industry is increasing its efficiency constantly and considerably, but in absolute terms only. Relative terms are not that much positive. If we observe the data from, let's say, year 2000, when we start our analysis, the difference between average productivity in terms of value added and labor productivity was very, very high. So food industry basically has 20 to 30% higher productivity, labor productivity and value added per employee with comparison to the processing industry in general. But then this distance basically decreased quite considerably, and in the year around EU accession, these indicators were basically below the average of the processing industry and the economy. But then again, we have some increase. But what we can conclude from these trends is that the difference between average productivity in the manufacturing sector and food manufacturing is decreasing. So food industry is not that much well ahead of the average results from the food industry from the processing industry in Slovenia. And the last but not least is of course the data about profitability. We can see that in general the productivity levels measured with return on sales are rather low, in some cases or in some periods even negative. Particularly negative result was achieved in 2009, but it is basically quite concentrated event in the beverage and brewery sector. So it was a loss write-off due to the management buyout activities in the brewery and beverages sector. It's quite a known, let's say, negative activity in the sector of brewery and beverage. Okay. So let's go now to analyze the four questions. First of all is the question whether the food industry is facing the cost price squeeze. For the beginning, there are the data about the price indices. What we can observe is that the in nominal terms, the prices of all four, let's say, all four inputs which form the price trends are increasing. So we were monitoring the consumer prices, producer prices of food industry, food import prices, and agricultural prices. These are somehow forming the block of prices in food industry. And we can see that general trend is, of course, increase in nominal terms. Here we can see the agri-food inflation area around 2007-2008. And then we can see a significant drop in 2009. And then still rather big variances in prices of agricultural and food, agricultural prices. But what I would like to show you is this huge and excessive pass-through trend between the producer prices and retail prices. So this is the gap which was built by the retailing sector, because those are the prices which are paid to the food processors, the blue triangles. And the red square, the red circles are prices which are paid to the retailers by the consumers. So we have some other estimates using econometric methods, which are showing extremely huge pass-through of the retailers. And this is also a part of the answer to the question, who is skimming the cream in the food chain? Excellent example is this pass-through of the consumer prices versus the producer prices in the food chain. So what we can conclude is that for food producers there is no negative trend in price, but the cream is basically skimmed by the retailers. Here are some price-cost parities. So comparison of the food producer trends relates to the agricultural inputs, energy and wages. Of course, quite evident is the negative cost price parity for the food processing with respect to the energy. Energy is of course getting more and more expensive, and food products, so on the other side of the other side of the process, food products to the processors are getting cheaper. So the parities are negative. And for some food sectors, of course, energy is an important input costs, which puts a lot of pressure on their profitability. Also, wages for the labor costs are also increasing higher or at a higher tempo than the food producer prices. So those are the For labor-intensive and energy-intensive subsectors of the food processing industry, we can observe quite a negative price-cost parities. Retailing sector, I already mentioned some results or some notions regarding the food retail sector. I mean, the answer on this question is, of course, quite obvious, not only for Slovenia, but for many, many other countries as well. Traveling through Hungary, I also noticed quite strong and very well spread retailing sector, which for sure also is pushing a lot of pressure to the suppliers from agricultural and the food sector. But let's say the data for Slovenia. The data for Slovenia in terms of concentration ratio or market structures in this sector are extreme. So we have many, many confirmations that Slovenian retailing sector is extreme in many perspectives as far as the sectoral structure is of concern. Here are some data of our research regarding the measurement of the concentration ratio. When economists speaks about concentration ratio, it means, you know, for those who are not from the economy, concentration ratio means what share of the sector is what share of the market is taken over by the largest economic subjects, and this is one of the indicators which is used U.S. Department of Justice when it's measuring the market structures in the economy. Is HHI, Herfindahl-Hirschman Index, and we see a quite extreme growth of this index in Slovenia, and then a slow decrease again after 2007. So we have high level of concentration, confirmed high level of concentration in the retailing sector, and as you will see on the next chart, which is taken from the European Central Bank study, Slovenia is basically well above the European euro area average, with one of the most concentrated sectors in retail in Europe. So this is Slovenia, number 11. For sure, the number one retailer in Slovenia has at around 40% of the market, which is extremely high level of concentration, and this is the highest figure in euro area. And then if we add up 10 retailers, Slovenia and Finland are, of course, extremely high. So what does it mean for the sector, for the agri-food chain? Of course, huge retailers have huge market power, and they can press a lot of commercial conditions on the suppliers, and I'll talk about it in the conclusions. International trade. Slovenia is quite open, as a small economy, is quite open to international trade. Those are the figures of trade balance for processed food only. We are also big importers of agricultural commodity, also from Hungary and other countries, but those data are only for processed food. As you can see, the big change happened after EU accession. Import, but also export figures changed considerably. So we are, 2011 data are that we are importing about 1.3 billion euro of goods in processed food, and we are exporting about 0.6 billion euro of processed food. This is the kind of a relative figure which shows the import export to import ratio. So about 45% of total export, total import is covered by export. So, and what we can see that the figure is decreasing considerably in the last years. So at the beginning of our analysis, the ratio was about 70%, now it's around 45%. Trends are, of course, negative. But is this kind of the trend which could not be predicted? The answer is, of course, no. These are the figures about the tariff protection policy before the EU accession. So we can see that we had quite a huge level of import protection towards the entire world. So we kind of protected Slovenian food industry from the international competitors. And then after the EU accession, or just before the EU accession, this protection level was, of course, dropped due to the fact that we have to accept the common tariff, common custom tariffs, which of course then pushed a big pressure on the food processors. Other countries which are a little bit wiser international trade policy, they did this process of import protection barriers in the long run. So they prepared the sector, let's say, they reduced the tariff barriers year by year. We didn't do the process like this. That's why our producers were shocked in 2004 by huge drop of import protection barriers, which of course turned out into the increase of import data. Okay, the last question is whether the budgetary support to the sector stimulated competitiveness of the food industry. Let's see the figures. Quite huge amount of money were available to the food sector prior to the EU accession. And then, of course, with the EU accession, the figures changed. But if you look at the structure of the budget, so what kind of instruments were available to the food industry, you can see that majority of the transfers were not competitiveness supportive. So market support or market price support measures are short-term measures which do not affect the competitiveness in long run, but they basically correct the profitability of the sector in long run. So our conclusions, which will be, of course, shared with you at the end, is that the structure of the budgetary support before the accession was not stimulating the competitiveness. And basically, this shrinkage of budgetary support also led to worsening of the economic results of the food industry. In the last years, the things somehow changed, but the figure or the picture is a little bit distorted due to some political instruments, as for example, sugar sector restructuring, which is basically payment to the company owners to close down the sugar factory. So money is not really supporting the competitiveness. However, the figure levels are much lower. So about half of the funds which were available prior to the EU accession are available now to food industry. But the structure is, let's say, more positive in the last year. So 2/3 of the budgetary support goes to the structural policy, which means long-term competitiveness improvement, and the 1/3 is, of course, to market support measures. Okay, the conclusions. Cost price squeeze, whether the food sector is facing the cost price squeeze, we can say certainly, but only in the last, let's say, 3 or 4 years. Producer prices, as we saw, retained the real levels. If you remember the chart I show, the producer prices are not falling in real terms. But the problem is, as we saw, that the consumer prices are decreasing. So the share of the consumer expenditure in the retail shop for food is basically changing. Retailers are keeping more and more of this euro spent in the shop, but the producers are getting less and less and less. So we can see asymmetric patterns in price moves. And of course, I show you the fact with the pass-through phenomenon. And one of the important things that it was not visible from the figure is that the official statistics is not covering the rebates and allowances to retailers which are paid by the suppliers. Some other researches that we are doing shows that these two, let's say, phenomena, rebates and allowances to retailers, are growing also extremely. So, and additionally, reduce the profitability of the food processing sector. What is with the food retailing? The story just developing or continuing with the food retailers. Confirmation of the fact that the retailers are skimming most of the cream in the food chain. We have extreme structural features in Slovenian food retailing, confirmed bilateral oligopoly. So we have high concentration ratio towards the producers and high concentration ratio towards the consumers. So suppliers, food processors are highly exposed to the vertical dominance from the retailers, but we can notice also some strategic failures from the food processors, which even weakened the position towards the retailers. So cannibalistic competition is stimulated by retailers, but it's not possible, so the suppliers were not able to fight against this cannibalistic competition. Many failures with respect to the private label introduction and so on. Here we call the government, considerable corrective activities are needed by the competition authorities. So far, competition authorities in Slovenia were not active enough into solving the distortions in the food supply chain in the area of agriculture. Some other countries, including Hungary, basically started some special programs to fight against the practices in the vertical chain in Slovenia. These kind of activities are needed. International trade trends are not surprising due to the small facts that I show you, particularly related to the suboptimal trade policy. High tariffs plus export subsidies were given prior to the accession, and then with the EU accession, these instruments were of course abandoned, and this trade policy affected competitiveness on domestic and foreign markets. This ad hoc liberalization was not good, instead of gradual approach which was observed in many other countries. So it is for sure the example of failed government interventionism in the area of international trade. And moreover, Slovenia or Food Industry Association is not working strategically on the international competitiveness. This is also one of the area that that needs much more attention that is it's getting at the moment. The last budget, we can see that only very limited implication to competitiveness. So prior to the accession, there was quite high level of support, but not intended to correct chain distortions. The policy basically induced caused the vertical distortions, and of course does not didn't support the competitiveness of the food processing industry. The effect of the economic crisis is also that the capital investment support interest by the food industry is decreasing, so acquiring the banking funds is limited. That's why at the moment the interest for capital investments and of course increasing of the competitiveness is decreasing due to the economic crisis. And then what is also lacking is the vertical upgrading of the agri-food policies, so policies that are stimulating agricultural production and food processing industry are the same, let's say, logic. Okay, final thoughts. Slovenian food industry has retrograded in the last decade from the leading national processing sector. This is quite a rather negative final thought. The fact is that the industry is facing the structural deficits in many perspectives, size, ownership, and export activities. Government policies are not really supporting the food processing industry in terms of trade, industrial policy, competition policy, promotion and marketing, rural development, and so on. But also we should not neglect the fact of the managerial deficits. There is a lot of maneuver in terms of increasing the knowledge and competences in the food management, food processing management sector. So what we are proposing, it's kind of a general conclusion. The main thing is intensive export orientation. We are lacking government infrastructure here, but potential for exports of course exists, and some quite, let's say, promising results are already here. And on the other side, strengthening of the domestic consumer loyalty. Also, here the government is putting already some initiative. Vertical coordination with the farming sector. We have, let's say, in a social system, rather efficient when compared to other post-socialist countries. We have quite efficient vertical coordination with the farming sector, which has been then dissolved, and slowly the chain disintegration is terminating. So we are slowly building again this vertical system of agro and food chain. And then, of course, we have to intensify the high-tech but applicable R&D. The first lecture was talking about R&D in agricultural sector, and we have to build up the government infrastructure which will support these activities. And then, last but not least, competition regulation. I was talking about the distortion in the market situation or market relationship between the retail and the food and agricultural processing sector. Okay, thank you very much. I'll be happy to answer some questions from your side. Thank you.